I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Better Call Saul.
In the order that it was broadcast.
Forward Call Saul.
Just a podcast. Podcast. This is a podcast.
Podcast. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Adam. You know, I can't see you. You're off to the side in such a way that it's I can only see.
I don't know why. It's because I'm not using my external web camera, and I have to, and it doesn't capture as much as me. But I have the microphone in a weird spot. Here, okay, you can hear me though, right?
I can hear the shit out of you.
Yeah. Oh, okay, thank God. I'm very tired. I have not gone to bed yet.
Why?
So, Meg, there's been a running dialogue on this show, or narrative, about how I really want an Xbox, right?
Yeah.
I got one this morning, baby.
But why didn't you go to bed last night?
Because I had to wait in line at a Best Buy all night.
Oh, no.
I made some cool line friends, though, and I also felt like my life was in danger for certain parts of it.
No, like more than one part?
For the very end, I was like, this is going to turn into full Jingle All the Way, and people are just going to storm the Best Buy.
Because they were like so...
Because there was... Okay, so here's... I haven't told Meg about this. I was excited to let her know I got my Xbox.
These are Xbox
boxes on the bed.
Are you going to get Red Dead Redemption 2?
I looked at it today. I just spent over $500 today, and Red Dead Redemption 2 is another $60, so I'm going to hold off.
Oh, you know, on the digital store, it was on sale for $25, and that's why I got it.
Well, I'll check again.
Okay.
But I also need to beat Red Dead 1 if I want to do it.
Okay.
But I'll get on Red Dead 2. I also need to watch Pretty Women. That's another thing.
You do need to watch Pretty Women.
I need to watch Pretty Women. But so there's...
Wait. So last night when I was sending you like what I thought was like 1:32 in the morning, and it was like the Northern Exposure theme song because it came up in last week's episode, you were just...
I was just sitting outside of Best Buy.
I'm sorry. I was like, I hope this doesn't wake him. Oh.
So the Xboxes and the PlayStations are famously very hard to get, right?
So true.
Because of this chip shortage. And I really want an Xbox, goddammit. And so I've been following, like, I've been following this one guy on Twitter who's, like, a journalist who's, like, he'll be like, bah, Target's going to get 50 units and you have to click real fast or else you won't get it. And there's a thing this week, select Best Buys. We're going to get a bunch of PS5s and Xboxes. You had to be in line at 7:30 in the morning. And they would come out and give you a ticket, and then you could go in and purchase the Xbox. If you didn't have a ticket, no luck for you. Go away. Mm. So I, at 9 p.m. last night, I was like, I just want to go see if people are lining up now, or else I'll come back home, go to bed, and then I'll go in the morning at like a more reasonable time. And there was 8 people in line at 9 p.m. the night before.
Oh,
and
my
gosh.
So I
was like, well, I'm getting in line.
So how far away was the Best Buy from your house?
It was a 30-minute train ride. It was in Manhattan.
Man, what you won't do for a video game.
Yeah, and then here's the worst part. This is where I got real boned. Or not really, retroactively boned. So it was for PS5 and Xbox, right?
Mm.
I knew PS5 is more popular than Xbox. I didn't realize how much more popular it is than Xbox, because I was asking everyone in line, I was like, which one are you here for? And literally everyone was PS5. And the vouchers come out in the morning, and the guy's like, he's like, which one you want? PS5. Which one you want? PS5. And he comes to me, and I was like, one Xbox, please. He's like, you're the first one to ask for that. And he hands it to me. I have ticket. It says ticket number one. There are people in the back of the line who came for PS1s who are rushing to the front of the line going, will someone please trade my Xbox ticket? I don't want this.
Oh, wow.
And I found out later, the person who got the last Xbox showed up at like 7:15 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. So you could have shown up at 5 or whatever.
I could have shown up at 5 and been totally fine. I would have gotten there and there would have been a giant line. And that would have like scared me. And I would have had 2 hours of like, I don't know. But I made two good line friends who I've been texting today and been like, you guys are cool. We'll play games sometime. That's fun. But if I sound a little mealy-mouthed to everyone, that's why.
What do you mean?
I'm tired.
Oh, if you sound a little mealy-mouthed. I didn't. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Then,
you
know what? Oh, also, wait. Is mealy-mouthed like an expression for like lying or something?
Just a second. Underneath your arm, is there a fan going or something?
Oh, it's my fan, because I'm in unwindowed, unair-conditioned room.
Oh, yes. You don't have windows in your room?
No, it's literally ruining my mental health.
Adam!
I know, I need to move.
We gotta figure this out.
We gotta figure this out. I'll get back to LA eventually, don't worry. We'll get me there.
You know what they have in every room in LA?
Cocaine.
Yeah, that's true, and a window.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, but real quick, sorry, I'll shut up about the Xbox adventure. I was excited to tell you about it, because I don't shut up to Meg about how, like, I want an Xbox.
He does, he wants an Xbox.
Really. Well, now I don't want one, I have one. I could throw it in the dumpster now, I don't care. It's my Xbox.
You're so fickle.
So this guy I followed on Twitter, this journalist, and he kept, like, posting, like, woo, woo, restock here, restock here. But he was kind of cocky about it. Like, his tweets would be like, then he'd retweet people who would be like, dude, this information's bullshit. And he'd just, like, tweet back, like, people successfully ordering their Xbox with, like, a snide comment. And I didn't know he was based out of New York. He was at the Best Buy I was at.
Oh, wow.
Getting a profile written up about him by BuzzFeed. And he just kept mentioning, like, yeah, I'm almost up to 1 million followers. I'm almost up to 1 million followers on Twitter. And I looked at him. And I held my phone up to him like I was taking a picture, but I really unfollowed him on Twitter.
There you go.
Which was fun for me to do, because I don't need him anymore. I got what I needed.
Yeah. My goodness. That's a Big Apple night. That's a New York City.
And here's the thing. Here's the worst part. It's not a cool story. No one cares. It's some dork shit. Let me tell you what. People walking around the street don't like big lines outside of electronics stores. They will yell at you.
So is that why you felt unsafe?
No. I felt unsafe near the end. The PS5 people mostly. The Xbox people were cool because there was just enough of us. There was some people like cutting the line, and there was people like really yelling and really like, I was like, oh, fists are going to be thrown for a PS5 here. And I was like, I don't even want that shit. People got mad at me because I kept being, I was a little tired and a little slap happy, and I was like, why do you all want PS5? You're fools. You're all fools. And they didn't like that. But most importantly, this is a podcast about Better Call Saul.
Really truly is, yes.
And about how we watch it and enjoy watching it.
Oh boy, and did I like today's episode so much.
Meg loved it. Probably this might be the first time that Meg's going to give something a higher grade than me. I liked it fine.
I don't know. I thought it was playful and fun.
I loved it. I mean, there's not a bad episode, but I think this is the first, because usually I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And this is the first time where I'm like, that's pretty good. But it's called Alpine Shepherd Boy is the title. And okay, so you know how every episode up to now has been like two syllables and it ends in O?
Yeah.
Uno me. So apparently I was like, oh, that's a weird coincidence. Apparently that was a thing they were trying to do. And this episode, this is real. I'm not doing a bit. This episode was supposed to be called Jello. And then like, that's like a proper noun, like copyright term. They couldn't use it. And I was like, well, call it something else. Why'd they just change it? And they're like, all right, fuck it. It's called Alpine Shepherd Boy.
They didn't even try. Maybe
it's literally, I looked ahead. I'm like, oh yeah, now this sticks out. Like it's the only episode of the season that doesn't have that little naming convention.
Wow. I wonder what, like, Alpine Shepherd Boy would be in, like, German. I wonder if it ends in a no. But then why wouldn't they just, I don't know.
I don't know. It's the Hummel that lady had, right? Yeah, that's what it's in reference to. He starts talking to old people in this episode.
Oh, yeah, with the little, my grandma used to get me those. But we can get into those in a moment.
You can get into them. So here's the thing about Saul. Little happens in every episode that we can get a lot looser with our talking about it. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess in general, this episode, we see Saul go through those three meetings he had before noon this morning where people wanted to, you know, get his opinion, his legal opinion, thanks to that billboard stunt that he pulled.
Yeah. You loved the first one.
Well, I mean, I guess there was just something very, you know what, like, I'm trying to think of the right way to put this, but, like, one of the things that I find really limitless about this is, like, there's no end to weird, legal, stupid, litigious things that he could get into. Like, I'm kind of just waiting for somebody get pulled into, like, an Herbalife multi-level marketing scam, and, like, he has to somehow, you know, get out of it. Or, like, even just, like, getting out of somebody's fucking timeshare condo contract or something like that without having to pay the fees. Like, there's no end to, like, weird legal proceedings that he can find. So, like, right off the bat, when somebody is like, I want to make my own, I want to succeed and I want to make my own country and I'm going to give you $1 million, that's like, yeah, this is what I wanted. I don't want to see people fucking ahead. I want to see, you know, some, like, oil tycoon or whatever the fuck, like, trying to make his own country, you know?
Yeah, it was fun. And he put his face on $100 bill.
On a $1 million worth of $100 bill.
Yeah.
On $100,000.
And I'm glad he put them all on a tray, on what looked like an oven tray, and put it in a safe.
Yeah.
Which is just fake currency.
But I mean, there's just something kind of about this guy. He reminded me, oddly enough, of the mayor from Northern Exposure, which nobody's going to appreciate.
But I've listened to the theme song now.
So you have an idea.
I have an idea. There's a moose on the thumbnail you sent me.
Yeah, and remember we talked about moose so much.
Oh yeah, we did. Oh yeah, we covered moose.
Yeah, we talked about moose. We know moose.
They come in a herd.
Yeah, they do. And they should be the ones driving cars and doing jobs for money and not us. We're just idiots.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine that world?
Did you know that one of the moose's predators, the top predators for moose, this isn't a joke, is killer whales? I'm not joking. Can I please explain?
How do they get them?
So, in the Pacific Northwest, let's say Vancouver, moose swim, right? And they can hold their breath for a really long time to get vegetation on the seafloor. And in saltwater situations as well.
But wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But they're trying to get vegetation on the seafloor, but isn't there vegetation on the forest floor that they can get?
Yes, but sometimes they're like, well, I guess I'll go out there and get some of that seagrass. Because it's like more nutrient dense. I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
I'm not thinking you're making it up. I just, it's, you're
you
a self.
You seem so tired.
You're a self-described moose expert. And I'm just asking questions. As a moose student, I'm just asking. I'm going to use the excuse my boy Tucker Carlson uses, which I'm just going to say, hey, I'm just asking questions.
Okay, so
I'm just asking questions, Meg.
Anyhow,
I'm gonna cut that out.
No, you should probably keep it in.
I compare myself to Tucker Carlson, my hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys have the same creepy, boyish, never aging Ken doll like waxy appearance. I'm just kidding. You don't have.
I make the same face when I'm listening to someone else that he does. That.
How is his face the way it is? Do you think it's plastic surgery? Or do you think that's just like the
makeup? I don't think he's had work done. I think that's just his face. Yeah,
I think that's just the makeup and like how they're like, us Americans who are conservative don't like to see you move your face. And like if you are talking, all the rest of the meat should stay in one place and you shouldn't have expressions in the same way the rest of the humans do.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
But but the vegetation, Meg, the vegetation on the seafloor.
So moose will dive down to get like seafloor vegetation, and killer whales, orcas, they're relentless, and they'll come and eat up a moose. So there has been in the history of the world, like a person scuba diving, seeing a moose underwater at like something like 30 meters, and then like an orca whale coming and eating the moose.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyhow.
That's cool.
Orcas like don't want to fucks with us, and that's nice.
That makes sense now. I can't imagine a moose in an ocean. I imagine them only in rivers or lakes. But if they're in an ocean, that makes more sense that a killer whale would come and get it.
Yeah, that's the only reality where that could happen.
Because if they were in a lake, I was like, where are these fucking orca whales running around in lakes?
You know, they caught a... I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but you know, they did catch a bull shark in Lake Michigan back in, like, the early 1900s.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
They did? Oh,
yes. He swam up the Mississippi River, and he got through the locks into the Lake Michigan.
He swam up the Mississippi? What a journey.
Yeah, but those sharks can live, like, 20 years in freshwater. I know too much about this. We need to stop. I need to calm down.
That's okay. That's a good thing to know about.
Yeah. Well, also, you're, like, so tired. You're not reining me in, and this is just where my...
This is probably... They probably like more like Adam shutting the fuck up and just letting Meg talk. Do you know how much talking over Meg I have to edit out each week, and it's still not all out of there?
Well, I gotta learn my place, and I gotta...
No, Jesus Christ. Stop that. It's because I am a rude boy, and I get excited to say stuff, and I go like... And... Sometimes I can edit it out. Sometimes I can't. And it's a little cut on my soul each time I hear it back.
Oh, no. It's coming from a place of... Adam and I are both people who have been, like, treated for bad ADD, Adam ADHD. And I think we both suffer. Adam suffers the same thing I do, which is like, I have a thought. I have a thought right now. And if I don't say it, I will forget it.
I sure do. All right. So... That's the first meeting.
And then the second meeting is with a little Chicago comedy super god, and his name...
Go on.
No, go. You go on.
What's his name?
Tim Baltz.
His name's Tim Baltz. Someone Meg and I have both met multiple times. I have a book with his signature on it in this very room.
And we used to go to some of the same events together. And when I was talking to him once about, like... Oh, yeah, I'm from Elmhurst. And he goes, oh, you know, I'm from, God, where was it? It was either Romeoville or where, like, Cook County Jail is. And I like, clutched my pearls. And I went, oh. And he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, you're right. Sorry. I'm sorry.
This is the toilet guy, for anyone listening who doesn't know. It's the guy who made the child toilet. He was on the Second City main stage. And when I moved to Chicago, literally the second improv show I ever went to, he was in. And he was so funny. One of the funniest, most naturally funny people I've ever fucking met. And now he's on, like, now he's a name.
Yeah, he's in Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
He was in the Connors. He played one of the girls' boyfriends.
Oh, he's in the Connors? I didn't know that.
Well, he played at least, like, he was a guest star on one episode where he played, I think, Becky's, or who's, like, Darlene, one of the two's girlfriends.
He was one of the first people I ever, like, just saw... regularly doing shows and then later saw on TV. It was a weird feeling.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta admit he's got, like, all the boyish, handsome, good looks of, like, JFK.
He's got such a unique look that's, like, so perfect for really specific parts.
Yeah, I don't know. I like, he was on History for a long time.
Yeah, that was, like, one of his first big parts, right?
Right when he moved here, he got on Drunk History.
When I was working at UCB, because I, like I said, I used to see him in Chicago all the time, and then he came into UCB once, and I didn't actually realize he would, like, had landed on so many other shows, and I went, Tim Baltz from Family Treehouse Boat Incident, which was, like, his fucking improv team in Chicago, and when I said Tim Baltz, he kind of, like, looked at me, like, a little bit like, ah, fuck, someone recognizes me, but then he gave a double take when he's like, oh, from Chicago Improv, and he came and talked to me for a while, and it was really nice.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, he's good people. He just got engaged a couple months ago.
I didn't know that. But yeah, anyway, he's selling a toilet.
And a toilet that talks, but it's very suggestive. It's supposed to be like a potty training aid. And this is interesting because, like, I had a little toilet like this for my daughter. But it would sing songs and be like, wash your hands now and stuff like that. It wasn't as suggestive as this it was. But they do have things like this.
Because this says, like, put it in me.
Yum, yum, fill
yum,
me
yum,
up.
Yum, yum, poop. Yeah. I like eating poop.
I think what I like the most about this, because I did feel like this was kind of low-hanging fruit, but I did like that Saul is immediately like, hey, there's a market for this. It's just not what you think it is. There's, you know, and that's kind of, I feel like, a good sign of, you know, Jimmy McGill becoming Saul. Like, that's something Saul would have said. That's something Jimmy McGill says. You know, they're the same person.
The excitement... that Tim Baltz's character had Saul sign the NDA was that's really specific, but it's like, that's the sort of shit I would see him do on stage all the time. Like,
little stuff like that. It was just really funny how he grabbed the clipboard, and I don't know. Yeah. Go watch the scene, guys. He does everything he does is funny.
Yeah, no, it's a it's a great little bit. It's a fun little guest star for him. Good for that was great. And then he yells and shouts his family out of the shouts Saul out of the house.
But
and then or Jimmy out of the house. And then what were you gonna say?
I said then Tim, we're fucking done talking about you. So all right.
So like, thank you done. For your time, Tim.
Thank you. It was a guest starring role. We're done.
And then in the third one is a little old lady who has those porcelain dolls that my grandma used to get me every year for my...
She got them for you?
Yeah, so it was a specific set that they looked like me, and I would get a new one every year on my birthday with the year I turned on it, and I was you like it? You're into it?
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, I remember, I think like... I'm not sure if they were supposed to be valuable or what, but my parents kept them in the china cabinet. And I literally would be like, oh, and it's that fucking thing my grandma gives me every year. I did not understand why she did that. I just didn't get it. Like, are they valuable? Do you know?
I don't know. It depends on the one, I guess. Because there is like, I don't know. Because I, like, dabble in collector shit with, like, board games and such and some, like, collectible books and whatnot. And it just depends on who's going to pay for it. Like, I'm sure there's certain markets, like, where some collector would be willing to pay for some Hummel a lot of money.
It's called a Hummel? Yeah.
They're called Hummels, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, mine looked like me, where, like, and she would, like, whatever my hair was doing that year, she would then find a doll that looked like that. And it was just, like, little... like porcelain statues of me, essentially. I mean, not, it wasn't like a dead ringer for me, but like vaguely white, like lady growing up.
Oh, fuck. I remember. Okay. One of the first times I came to your apartment, one of those dolls was sitting on your table, and I talked to it for like 10 minutes while you were in the bathroom. I didn't realize it wasn't you. I thought it was you.
Well, that one is haunted, and it just floats around my apartment. And,
oh, so it was talking back. I wasn't talking. So, okay, I feel less crazy now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you did talk to a haunted Hummel, but yeah, it's here, and it wakes me up in the middle of the night giggling, and I go, Hummel. Stop it.
Yeah, what? Haunted shit loves to giggle. Yeah. Everything thinks everything's so funny, and it's, you know why? Because ghouls don't need a job.
Yeah,
so everything's just a cakewalk for them.
And they don't have to worry about health insurance.
Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about driving cars up to the valley to see, go to job interviews. God. Student loans? No.
No.
Yeah, no. So that's, I didn't know if there was a reason why someone would bequeath those to people, or if it was just like, hold on to my shit, I bought it, I don't want to throw it away even when I'm dead, you know.
Yeah. Oh, this lady comes down the stairs really slow. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's clear that like it has been a minute for him to get all of his stuff, but like, bless his heart, he does a thorough job. Like, he remembers all the details, he's gonna do it. Takes the thing for the process of writing the will, you know.
And she pays up front, fixed income, and he's like, uh-oh, this might be a honeypot.
Yeah, but it's only $140, which I guess is, well, and that type of money, it's probably kind of, let's see if I can do this.
Sorry, guys, it's Inflation Watch.
$220 to $230, so that's not a bad day's pay.
Hold on. I just wrote two, and Google automatically filled in 2002 USD to 2021. So let's get here. It was $140. What was your guess again?
I think $225 to $230.
All right, so I
don't know why that might have been overreaching.
Don't know why we're even checking. Wait, why is it? Oh, 225 to 230?
Yeah.
It's 212.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm no longer an inflation lord. Oh, I gave
man,
up my
this
title
is like when,
over something so small.
This is like when Ronda Rousey got knocked out round one, and now she's just a joke.
Yeah, now she's just fucking... God damn it. Well, I don't know how I'm going to handle the rest of my day.
I don't know either. Fuck.
Anyway, she got this shit, and she's into, like, everything Jimmy does, and Jimmy's, for better or worse, taking it really seriously. But I think the thing we kind of forgot was Chuck got
beat
up by the cops.
The cold open of the episode is Chuck, the cop, the lady, the fucking narc neighbor, who he took a newspaper from, called the police. And they're like, this guy's a crazy man.
Yeah, also, like, the police are there to stop, like, people from, like, murdering.
But he did trespass.
But, like...
I would call the police on a weird old man with a space blanket running around my neighborhood, possibly. I don't know.
That's true. I guess so. I don't know. I just feel like they would maybe not take this as seriously as they did because, you know...
They tase him,
yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, he's tweaking because he hates electricity. And so,
as someone who hates electricity, that's like the worst thing.
That's a super dose of electricity. Yeah.
But do you remember how Jimmy finds this out?
Oh, because he's doing this very romantic thing that's indisputably
this very
romantic.
Platonic thing.
Very
this
romantic.
Very that friends can do. I don't think Jimmy and Kim are gonna hook up. I think they have a platonic relationship. And
you
he's doing her toenails.
You told me that they've had a thing in the past.
When did I tell you that? In the past.
Yeah.
In the past. That's.
And
you've
inferred they had a wonderful love story in this series.
I don't remember saying that. Okay. But it sounds like, I don't know, you've been known to put words in my mouth, so I can't tell.
all right, well, so... I don't know where you fall on this. I would be very confused if a male friend offered to paint my toenails. I would think, oh, this is probably the most intimate thing someone could do. Like, it would be as though somebody was like, and let me wash your hair. It's like, that's super intimate.
I hear what you're saying. My counter argument would be he works out of a nail salon and he has access to free nail salon shit constantly. And so she's just visiting and he's like, hey, let's see how good I am. Cause then she kind of like dunks on him the whole time. She's like, you're shitty at this.
That's true. But also like, why wouldn't she just do it herself? If like, cause that were the
she's getting pampered. He said she's at a nail salon.
There is no reality where you, even if your whole family left you nothing but nail salons, or you'd be like, let me do your nails on your feet.
If my family left me nothing but nail salons, then I'd be rich because I would sell all of them. But if I was a scrappy lawyer and I worked in a nail salon and had to be in one all the time, I'd be like, I got pretty good at this. Who wants one?
I just think it's too... I think it's a intimate moment between them.
On this, we'll never see eye to eye.
How are we friends? I don't know it.
I don't know, but the coolest part was that Kim's face was in it, and Kim's face is perfect. That was the best part of the scene. You got to see her talk and stuff. She's beautiful. Anyway.
I remember one time at a bar, a guy I thought I was flirting with, I saw that my shoe was untied, got down on one knee, had me put my foot on his leg and tied my shoe for me. And I thought it was such a flirty move. If a man was painting my toenails, I would think that's a flirty move.
I mean, if a man painted their toenails at a bar, yeah, that's a flirty mood.
Oh, gross.
Also, that's pretty cool if someone could pull that off.
No male and female friendship is just platonic about feet. It's just not there.
All right. 2002 is different.
In what way?
Everyone was painting each other's toenails back then. Jesus used to wash his friend's feet. Remember that? We talked about that
a
couple weeks ago.
And
they were all like, sick, bro.
He was as hell. Yeah, No.
A handful of them wanted to kiss him, and he's like, no. Not here for that. Later.
Not right now. I'm busy.
That's not connected with this. Okay. The feet washing is separate from the kissing. We can do the kissing, but like that's I don't want to give you the idea that this led to that.
I'm compartmentalizing the foot washing. This is its own thing. Don't get them confused. So, Jesus, what?
Howard calls and he's like, he tells Kim, he's like, hey, Chuck done fucked up and he's in a hospital.
And then Jimmy runs over and starts ripping cords off from truck. And the mm-hmm. nurse is like, stop it. And he's like pushing her away and everything. And I was like, this is physical.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, she has real tattletale vibes. She's like, I'm calling security. She doesn't like sound scared. She says like she's going to tell.
Yeah. She's not like, you're a belligerent, crazy person. She's like, that's not fair. I'm taking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, We said the tree was base, and you saying I'm it, but I was touching the tree. Meh.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck her. And
fuck her.
Yeah.
Worst character on both shows.
Yeah, you know what? Even worse than Walt.
Worse than Walt. All you jerks out there who are like Skyler sucks. This is who you should be pointing your ire at. This nurse in this one scene.
Yeah, who's just fucking running and getting help.
She didn't launder no one's money.
Yeah, she did shit.
She did shit. She just was an adequate nurse. Sorry, Meg, go ahead. I keep interrupting. Fuck, even when I'm tired, I do it.
And then, you know what? Everybody, like, he's like in, Chuck's in like catatonic shock. He's like, the whole time. And and Jimmy's like, oh no, my boy, my precious baby boy. What have you done to him? And a security guard comes down as he's trying to take the lights down. We really get into the weeds here. Basically, Jimmy tells the doctor, like, oh, he's a little titched in the head. He's allergic to electricity. And eventually Chuck snaps out of it. And, you know, you get a sense that this is all fake because it is. It's not real.
Yeah, it's some fake bullshit. I was being coy about it earlier, but it's pretty clearly fake. Yeah.
Yeah.
This doctor, though. What do you think about her, the doctor in the scene?
She's a freckle face, and I'm always a fan of a freckle face, but you seem to be really... You were scene is too hot.
Because, okay, who's in this scene? We got Kim, we got... Her name's Dr. Laura Cruz, I'm learning just now. Got Bob Odenkirk, we got Michael McKean, all in one room. How did they keep their shirts on?
It's hard to say. Yeah, it was a sexy... group. Yeah,
I've never seen a like more attractive group of people in one spot, and I've seen Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Oh, well, fuck. Yeah, so they basically they're talking about getting Chuck committed, and he's like, well, I don't want that. But then the nurse is, or the doctor is like, well, let me talk to your brother, because I don't care what you want, and I can get you, and I swear to God I'll get you in a nursing home. You just wait.
Yeah, she's really dead set on this shit.
Yeah, or I'm gonna get you committed and you're fucked.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna fuck. Oh, and they make you sweep the floors over there, and you gotta beg for porridge.
And there's everyone's nurse ratchet, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so then Howard Hamlin shows up, and the world stops, and he enters in slow-mo, and he just got out of the shower, and he shakes his blonde hair, and you go, what did I miss? I was just
Meg, he's wearing the dumbest outfit of all time.
Yeah, it was ugly.
He's wearing the first... This is the first time I was like, oh, this does take place in 2002, because what the fuck is he wearing?
Yeah, I mean, what could he possibly be coming from that he wears that outfit? Like, because it's not a golf outfit. It's like, was he sailing? But no, there's nowhere he could sail in New Mexico.
I feel like that's dinner at a golf club.
Oh, like dinner at maybe? The club, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But Jimmy, like, he's like, of course we won't commit Chuck. And Jimmy's like, yeah, you don't want us to commit him. Because then I'd be the sole guy, and I'd get all his money out of HHM. You bastard, we're committing him.
And Hamlin is like, come on, man. Stop being such a not gonna twat. Happen. And Jimmy's like, I see right through him. I know what he wants. And now I feel like we're almost at the end of the whole fucking show.
No, there's plenty of shit.
Okay.
There's plenty of... There's so much to talk about. There's we got... What do we got? We got we got so much coming up, and we got Spider-Man's coming out.
Oh my God, is it ever? It's Spider-Man. We're only 3 months away from the release of Spider-Man. How are we going to see that together? Huh?
We probably will have to see it separately and then
FaceTime each other throughout the whole thing.
Well, yeah, obviously, without headphones on, of course.
I wonder, can you teleparty Disney a premiere movie?
Wait, like on Disney Plus?
Yeah,
I want to see it in theaters, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll see what variants exist in December.
I guess now is a good time to go into the people who sent us emails of their posting about the show on social media. Let's go to the Pander Dome. We're in the Pander Dome. No one sent us any emails. Let's leave the Pander Dome.
Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome!
Just to remind everyone, send us a screenshot of you post about the show at forwardscallsaul@gmail.com. We probably shouldn't have mentioned that no one did it. That the episode where we mentioned it also came out yesterday for us, so it makes sense that no one did it, but still.
Yeah, give him some time.
I'll give him some time. But do it. You'll get your own Pander Dome. Remember how we just did the Pander Dome song and then nothing happened? If you email, something will happen.
He will pander to you.
And you can also email whatever you want. Just email sup.
Yeah, we'll read a sup. And then we'll talk about you.
I like having a direct line to you guys. So it's forwardscallsaul@gmail.com. Send whatever. send a sketchy link. I'll click on it. Send my social security number as a flex. Be like, yeah, I know it.
Boy, you are tempting the fates, man.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get that engagement, yo.
All right. Okay. So, yeah.
I don't like that I said yo. Trying to get that engagement.
Send us your thoughts on Section 230. That's something I care deeply about. Send us your thoughts about just your favorite recipes. It's fall coming up, and we want to know what type of fall fare you like to make at your house.
Got some Adam and Meg fan fiction you've always been meaning to send somewhere? Well, send it over.
Yeah, we love to hear. I hope we're up to some Hardy Boys-esque adventures.
Yeah, that's most of the fan fiction better be us solving mysteries.
I hope it is. You know what actually turned out to be a really good show?
Sabrina?
No, but yes. Only Murders in the Building. Have you heard of that one?
What the fuck is that? No, I've never heard of it. I'm going to Google it right now.
It's Let me tell you the cast. Don't look it up yet. Let me tell you the cast.
Okay. I'm looking at you and out of the cast.
Steve Martin, Martin Short, and you want to know who the last person is?
Tim Baltz.
Selena Gomez.
Oh, what a cast.
It's really good. And
it called? Only Murders Do Bedtime?
Only Murders in the Building. It takes place in your beloved city of New York.
Oh, my.
Which is rare to find a thing that takes place there.
Mr. Robot was in New York.
Oh, that's the only other thing, though.
And The Tick was in New York.
That's the only other thing.
And Sex and the City was in New York.
Okay, but that's it.
And Marvel's The Avengers was in New York.
Briefly.
And that's it. I named them all.
Yeah, that was it. Those are all the properties that take place in New York City.
Oh, Spider-Man. Your beloved Spider-Man. Forgot it. That's a big one.
Yeah. They're all about New York, yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man loves New York. Famously, Spider-Man 1, remember in the trailer? He saved a bunch of people with a big web between the Twin Towers, and then they had to edit it out. They're like, hey, guys.
So I think he caught two, bad guy helicopters.
Oh, they were bad guys.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, he should have been better about it. Anyway, oh, yeah, email forwardscallsaul@gmail.com. Email it tomorrow.
Please. And then, you know what happens is that he takes Chuck home. And when he takes Chuck home, Chuck's like, I'm at home. And
he's excited.
And he's like, I see that you saw our newspaper. I'm telling you, this is not every time you see me do some type of Slip and Jimmy thing, you have a big flare-up of this electromagnetic attack. And I'm telling you, I'm just drumming up some business, and I'm not causing any trouble, and this isn't slipping Jimmy. I swear to God, I'm just, furthering my brand, and I'm going to work with old people now. And he's like, that sounds promising. But it made me feel like we're in for Chuck faking a medical problem every time he needs Jimmy's attention, which is scary. A scary person to be.
I'm firmly in the camp that Chuck thinks he's really sick. I don't think he's using it to... If so, it's subconscious.
I agree that he believes he's sick. I think, you know, he has flare-ups. Like you said, subconsciously, whenever he needs to have Jimmy feel sympathetic for him or needs Jimmy to stop something, I guess.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I suppose we will.
This might... You don't know. This might be the last time we see Chuck. Who knows?
No, I'm pretty sure you told me he's a major character.
Yeah, he's been in 5 episodes. That's major.
It seems like...
It's a lot of episodes.
Seems like he's an important guy.
We'll see. Maybe they just write him out, and then 2 seasons later, they're like, remember that Chuck guy? Whatever happened to him?
And they go, oh, you know what? He actually got a job as a Disney World cop, and now he's in the sun all day by electromagnetic like body scanners, making sure people don't bring pocket watches or knives into Disney World. And then he lives happily ever after. Nothing bad happens.
He overcame his shit. Good for him.
Yeah. Thank God.
Oh. Yeah, but you know, he's skeptical. When he gets home, he acts like, so the first time I ever went to summer camp, I got so homesick, because I used to get really homesick, and I faked sick so that I could go home early. And it was he was like me when I got home.
What, like, how long was your summer camp?
A week. It wasn't long.
Oh, wow.
It was like 3 days. I was like, I gotta get out of here. This is the first time. I went back every summer after that, and I made it the whole week, you guys, okay?
My summer camp was 3 weeks and then 6 weeks, and I loved it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I kissed so many boys.
I didn't kiss any boys.
Did the girls, though?
No, not the girls either.
I
was a ghoulish creature in those days. We've been over this. No one... you've seen David Lynch's The Elephant Man, right?
No.
Oh, similar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A lumpy, freakish waif creature.
You're skinny but lumpy?
Yeah. Oh. I wasn't skinny. I was like skinny. I was a little tumbo.
All right. Well, so expound on your idea of like, is he just really happy to be back home? Like, I'm back.
Yeah, he's just happy to be. Yeah, he's happy to be back home. It's good to be home. I'm too much of a home. It's a bad thing. It's a bad habit of mine. I get too excited when I come into my room. And I'm like, ooh, all my things.
I mean, I like to be in my house. I like to be able to just go like, and now for bed. And then I lay down in my bed and I go to sleep. And I love it.
As soon as we get out of this call, I'm going to play Xbox till my eyes bleed. And that's going
to
be
Adam,
great.
I think you need to go to sleep.
Yeah, I should probably actually skip the Xbox tonight.
How did you function at the chocolate factory all day?
Hold on. Sorry. My eyes hurt.
I'm like yawning for you. I'm like sympathetically yawning.
No, at the chocolate factory, it was kind of hard, but the men who work for me are so fucking like cool and pure and nice. And they just kept coming up to me and be like, hey, you need anything? And I'm like, no, Francis, I'm good. And he's like, hey, I got you. And then they would like clasp my hand.
You gotta admire that type of brotherhood at the chocolate factory.
Yeah, they're great. And and it's like, even when I'm a little down, it's great because each one of them will come up to me at some point and be like, I'm as far as I am because of you. I'm fucking as far as I am because of you, Adam, which is super nice of them. And like, you, and don't, lest we forget, this is a chocolate factory full of very strong men. So these are strong men telling me with this, and they are not wearing shirts.
I mean, I'm just beside myself. I'm so jealous of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've sent you pictures.
I love it, but I also like, I don't know how you don't eat chocolate all day.
I don't know. It's weird because all the hunks eat chocolate all day and they still look like they do. So I don't know what they're doing, but it's pretty cool. It's a pretty magical place.
Well, today, my big thing to report is that they gave me an extra hunk of bread with my Panera soup, so I ate too much bread today.
Ooh, baby.
And it made me tired, because that's where I am in my life now. If I have too much bread, I get tired.
I mean, I feel like if you give, like, a 5-year-old too much bread, they'll get tired. That's just how bread works.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep eating it. It doesn't really do anything
good.
For me.
It's good. There's a reason there's a market for bread made.
Yeah, that's
true. It's popular.
It is popular. That's
Have you ever heard, like, there's a name for a bread store, and it's not just called a bread store. It's called a bakery.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, God, now I'm yawning so much.
Yeah, I'm doing this to Meg. I'm giving her the yawns.
Did you know that if you don't find yawns contagious, you might be a sociopath?
I've heard that. I don't know if I buy it, but I've heard it.
Have you? Yeah, I don't know. Do you know a lot of people who don't find yawns contagious?
No.
Okay.
But I also don't think about it, so I don't know.
Well, maybe you should try thinking about it.
Maybe I'm a sociopath.
Maybe.
You ever think of that?
Maybe.
I might be.
You seem too conscientious to be a sociopath.
Yeah, conscientious to a fault. It's frustrating. Mm. Chuck is like, I want to play Xbox, so go.
Yeah, he's which is allergic weird that, to electricity, but he wants to play Xbox.
He was very high up in COD before the disease kicked in, and he wasn't about to give that up for some condition.
Fair.
And then... Oh, there's like cute little Jimmy studies Matlock to be more like Matlock.
Yes, and then he goes, because you know who loves Matlock?
Teens.
People in nursing homes. And then he goes to that's better. Home, yeah. He has a bunch of branded yogurt cups that...
Jell-O.
Oh, yeah, Jell-O. It's Jell-O. You're Jell-O. 100% right. It's Jell-O.
Jell-O. The name of the episode is going to be called Jell-O.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I sighed a yogurt. My bad.
No. You're doing great. Keep going.
And then he's a charming, bamboozling, kind guy who's like, need a will? Call McGill. It was good. It was good to see. Mm-hmm. It was cute. Yeah.
Do you think he'll get good business? Do you think he did a good job?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did a good job. I think this will work.
Yeah, I think he's...
And I think this show ends at an alternate spot where he's just a nice elder lawyer. And none of the stuff from Breaking Bad ever happened.
And so everybody's better for it, and Walt's just dead.
He died of that cancer.
Yeah. No, he took that job from Gray Matter, and everything was fine. And
yeah, he took
everything
that job.
Was sensible. Yeah.
No, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
And him and Skylar had 4 more kids, which was actually not safe. He shouldn't have done that at his old age.
It was weird, because usually chemo makes you... sterile, but not him. It actually gave him more semen than ever before.
Well, so he didn't get chemo. So actually, like, on his first day at Gray Matter, Elliot was like, so here's the deal. We fucking cured cancer, but like, we mostly give it to rich people, but here, do you want some cancer cure? I'll give you some cancer cure. I mean, it's fine.
But the only side pills. Effect is that every time you have sex for the rest of your life, you impregnate your wife.
Yeah. And Walt's like, I love babies.
He can't help it. He just loves babies, and he likes to watch violent films with them. So then at the... What happens? Oh, we see...
A weird focus shift all to Mike.
Yes.
Is what happens. It's very abrupt. Jimmy's driving out, and he's like, hey, I got the stickers. And Mike's like... And then we just start following Mike around for the episode, which is lovely.
And Mike seems pretty intimidating the whole rest of the episode. He sits in a booth all night. He gets up, eats eggs in a very surly fashion, goes and parks his car outside of some poor white lady's house, then goes home, watches an old movie, and you know what else happens? The fucking police show up and need to raid his house.
And they said, you're far from home. And he said, so are you.
Oh, is that what they said? I forgot.
They said, long way from home, aren't you? And Mike's like, you and me both.
Ah, and then they come in.
Or no, opposite. They say, you're far from home, aren't you? And then one of them goes, you and me both. Who do you think that white lady was?
I think it was his daughter-in-law.
Yeah, it was his daughter-in-law. Who we saw briefly in a season 3 episode where he drops his... in Breaking Bad, she's younger because she's a Time Lord.
Yes. Yeah, no. Well, it's...
She's his Benjamin Button granddaughter.
Yeah. I don't know why she seems so scared of him. Obviously, that'll be figured out.
No, soon. They don't address it.
They don't address it? That's the thing they don't explain.
Yeah, no. You never see her again. This is the last appearance.
Wow, wild.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird... This is actually Mike's last appearance on this show.
That's so strange. I guess, what are you going to do, you know?
Vince got a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like jazz. It's the notes you don't play. So you know he ends up with Saul. It doesn't matter how he got there, baby. He got there.
Why would you address that in a prequel?
Prequels are for green screen and laser swords. That's what prequels are. Star Wars, we got it in.
We did it. We found a way to shoehorn it in. Good job, Adam. I thought I was going to make $50 today, but I didn't.
Star Wars, bad movies.
Every episode that he doesn't mention Star Wars, he owes me $50. So.
Uh-huh. And I'm not doing that. Yeah. They stopped giving us stimulus checks. I'm not paying Meg.
Oh, man. That's a bummer.
I know. Meg? What grade do you give this episode?
You mentioned
you liked it a lot.
I give it an A. I liked it a lot.
So I would give this an A-.
Okay.
First time ever. I liked it. It's just, it wasn't spectacular for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there was like a bunch of little romps for me, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was a bunch of little romps. It was like a sketch show.
Yeah,
A dramatic thing about mental illness. And then a sketch show.
What does Lorraine Bronco say, or whatever her name was?
Donna Lorraine Bronco Bowman gives it a grade, and I want to know what you think she gave it.
And they do pluses and minuses.
Yep.
I think she gave it an A-.
She gave this a B-. Donna, you saucy
Lorraine
person.
Bronco, what are you doing?
Donna Lorraine Bronco Bowman. the reviews are long, so I can't like find out like where she's like, this is why it was banned. Maybe I can find the last sentence. Hold on. I feel the same way about one moment in this week's episode is held back by some of its technical choices, but it does mean, I don't know. She didn't like it as much.
Well, Lorraine, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you sound pretty fucking on your high horse this week.
I think there was other things going on in Donna's life this week that, like, maybe influenced how she was feeling, and she was maybe just, like, a little bit ambivalent towards television because maybe she found out her husband was cheating on her on the news or something. So, like, all TV, was a little bit difficult to watch.
I get it. I'm excited for next week's one of my all-time faves.
Oh,
I'll say that right now.
All right.
I'm excited for
it.
I don't usually precursor like my emotions on an episode, but I just want to throw that out there.
You
all-time
do that all
faves
the time.
Next one.
What are you talking about?
Fuck off. this one was different. No. I'm excited. I'm excited about next week. Those listeners who've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. You know why I'm excited for next week.
Go to like a Pump It Up or like a Dave and Buster's or something?
I thought you hadn't seen the show.
Oh, no, I haven't. I was just an educated guess.
Okay, well, do you just want to do that episode now? Because you've clearly seen it.
No, I haven't seen it. Do they go to Pump It Up and or Dave?
Yeah, they go to Pump It Up and Dave and Buster's.
Oh, my God. And then what happens? Oh, well, do they have one of those big, long crafts of beers that have, like, its own spigot at the bottom at the
Yeah, you're doing... This is frustrating because you know you've seen it, and now you're pretending like
I haven't seen it. I just want to
really
think...
Fucking,
I was just trying to think narratively
being,
what would make sense.
You're being awful. Guys, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow LL Cool Sharf on Instagram.
You gotta follow
email.
Her. She's also on TikTok, and she's doing really gangbusters on TikTok. Maybe we
is
should...
she getting a lot of? I bet she's really good at it.
Oh, she has like 50,000 followers, and what she
that
tells a story about how her ex boyfriend, how she found out he was cheating on her. It has like millions of views.
That's sweet.
Yeah
really cool. I feel like she'd be good at that.
Yeah, so check out TikTok. Actually, if you like TikTok, check out Axolotl videos on TikTok. Those are weird looking, and I think you should look at them.
Also, email Forwards Call Saul, just anything you want.
If you
want
to make a meme with axolotls about Forward Call Saul, do that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm getting really lost in the weeds.
No, no, you're doing great. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna go to bed.
I hope you do. I truly hope you do.
But until next time, it's showtime, folks. Oh, my coffee.
Oh, my coffee. Was that part of it, too?
Yeah, you say, oh, because it's still coffee.
Oh, yeah, he does. Okay. All right.
No, that's good. Goodbye, guys. Podcast.